I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
Hello, I'm doing very good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing well, thank you. And you took over hosting duties last time, and I appreciate it.
I did.
You said that one comment that was really great. It was amazing. I loved it.
Okay.
So I'm going to remember that forever. I do believe this is an episode where we would update each other on invitations. Do you have any invitations you've been working on?
Yes. I can't remember if we've covered this talk or not, but I think we maybe did. Someone said that if he was mentioning us specifically with like deacons and like planning activities and just like generally like callings. But he says if it's not leading people to Jesus Christ, then, like, maybe you should reconsider. And I don't have any sort of callings where I'm planning activities or lessons or anything. But I have just been thinking a lot about, like, my friends and how to help them. And so that was an answer to me, was to just, like, focus on leading them to Christ. So that has been something that I've been working on and like, stepping away from just like giving advice or whatever, just leading people to Christ, whatever way they need.
Awesome. I love it. I believe that was Elder Danes. Sir, we would like to see Jesus, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Rivka, does that sound right? You're the resident expert.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. You know who the actual expert on that kind of thing is Burke, but we don't have Burke today.
True.
But we do have Rivka. How are you today, Rivka?
I'm fantastic.
Awesome. Any invitations you want to update us on?
So today, while I was at church, I just had this moment, and I wasn't thinking ahead about Elder Bednar's talk about Day of the Last Wagon and, you know, just all the people who contribute that go unnoticed or sometimes unappreciated, but I just all day today at church, I kept noticing all the people who were doing. It started with the young men as they were preparing and then blessing and passing the sacrament. And then I was thinking about our bishopric, and because they're new, and you know, just I was thinking about the overwhelm of that position. And then I went to second hour and I was thinking about the sister who was teaching. Anyway, I just kind of had this whole day where I was noticing all of the people who had put in effort and work and thought and worry and prayer into that 2-hour block that I got to go to and feel the spirit and have opportunities to, you know, give hugs and show love and to worship with fellow believers. And so I walked away from that thinking that's something that I want to do more and better, is take notice and then express my gratitude to them when I can. So that's my new one that I'm taking on.
Amazing. I love it. That's really good. I can tell you that every time someone has expressed gratitude to me or I have expressed gratitude towards someone, it's always mutually beneficial. So you can never go wrong with that, right? Everyone feels good afterward.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe how much it enhanced my experience today, even just being cognizant of what was going on around me. So
awesome. Yeah. I love it. Well, Rivka, we have a very, very special guest today, and I want you to introduce this fine young man.
I would love to. Today on the podcast, we have joining us Elder Jack O'Neill, who is my son. and who is a service missionary in the Washington Vancouver mission. And we're so excited that he's joining us today. He's been out 11 weeks today, so he's a newer missionary, but I had to look at my calendar right before we got on to count up the weeks. He's been out 11 weeks. And because of the topic of this talk, as we were having our family missionary council that we do once a month, because he's in our home and it's one of the things that they've asked us to do. So we meet together and talk about, you know, what's going on and how we can support the work and be involved in it. So we were having that. And then we were talking about, we're recording the podcast later, and Burke invited him to join, and we both, you know, just felt like it would be a really great thing because of the topic. And Jack was kind enough to accept the invitation.
All right. Thanks for that introduction, Rivka, and welcome to the podcast, Jack.
Thank you.
Sorry, Elder O'Neill. It's that is a hard habit to break. I've known you since you were a wee lad, so it's hard to think of you as Elder O'Neill. But well, Elder O'Neill, tell us a little bit about your experience as a service missionary.
Well, I spend all 5 weekdays doing community service in my community. Four of the five, because I work on the Friday all day at the temple.
Very nice. What kinds of community service do you do?
So I work, I do clothes ironing and steaming for a food pantry. I do traffic control for a different food pantry. I go up and I help a family member that's struggling for one day, and I go to a carpenter shop that also serves as a day shelter for people.
Oh, very interesting. For a minute, I thought you were going to say I do traffic control for the airport.
That would be awesome, but
unfortunately not. And I was like, that's really good service. Are you trained for that? How did you end up getting set up with those areas of service? They seems pretty varied. So what was the process?
Process was actually pretty simple. Once I got called, I talked to my mission leader. He doesn't like being called mission president because that's technically a different thing. So my mission leader, and I told him some of the things that I was interested in doing. And during one day, he just took me to a bunch of different places, and I got to meet people, and I got to see what they did, and I picked based off of that.
Fantastic. And for those who don't know the details of missionary life as a service missionary, what's your day-to-day schedule like? Are you keeping the same hours as a missionary? Do you have as a missionary out in the field, do you have the same bedtime? Do you have the same study habits? What is all that like?
Okay, so that's a good question. Because the point of a service mission is to provide a missionary experience for everyone, just about everyone under the sun who wouldn't be a great fit for a traditional teaching mission, there aren't a ton of hard rules. We're expected to go to an institute class. We do scripture study twice daily, although what that looks like for the individual varies. We don't have a set bedtime. We don't have companions because we live at home. We live at our homes. But depending on the size of the service mission, you do see other service missionaries at some of the places. I do two of the 5 days.
You do have a companion that you do companion study with.
That's true.
You just don't work with the companions because they don't always live in the same city.
Yeah. My current companion lives, I think, 20 minutes away, but my companion just before this lived over an hour away. So that doesn't work all that great for
no.
Correct. Yeah, for service opportunities. I have a bedtime. I'm in bed at 10 and I try to get up at 6. I'm not that great at that because I have trouble sleeping. So usually I'm up by 7.
Okay, great. And you said 5 days a week. So yep. I'm guessing Sundays on, you know, let's assume that's a church day. What is Saturday like for you?
So Saturdays depend. Also Sundays depend because sometimes we do district meetings. Saturdays are when, I mean, that's a P day. It's when we do our mission activities as a district or sometimes as the entire mission, which stretches up till 2 hours away.
And then like normal P day stuff.
Yeah. And the normal P day stuff.
Straight in the room, do your laundry.
Except usually, honestly, usually I keep my room relatively straightened throughout the week and I do laundry just whenever I need it. But yeah, that is generally the idea, is you do your basic P day activities and your maintenance and then mission activities.
Awesome. And that is a lot of sort of logistical stuff. So now let me ask the more important question. How has this impacted you and your testimony?
Oh, that is way harder of a question. I don't know. I feel like I have a slightly different answer every time I give it. I think really it's been an opportunity for me to spend time helping people who are in some of the most disadvantaged positions in our society. And it has helped a lot with my ability to empathize and to care about those people and to not judge them, seeing how many of the things that I personally have vilified before or have been uncomfortable with or have been a little bit judgmental of, how much those people are still people. I think that has been the biggest thing, is it has given me a huge opportunity to feel compassion for just about everyone that exists. And in a way that I don't think I could have got in any other way.
That is a profound gift. Is a place that sometimes we as humans never get to. So that is a profound gift that you're having that experience. So thank you for sharing that. Rivka, yeah. I've asked you this before, but maybe your answer is different now, 3 months in, but how has it impacted you and your family to have a missionary serving a full-time mission in your home?
I think a lot of the answers are still the same, but having so many days where he comes home and, you know, I welcome him home and ask how his day went, and hearing stories and seeing the joy and the exhaustion in his eyes as he comes home every day, I feel like that is not unique to missionaries, regardless of whether they're service missionaries or teaching missionaries, but we right. get to see it every day when he comes home. And so for me, it has increased my appreciation for the deep sacrifice that full-time missionaries make in doing the work that they do. And that has been a real blessing.
Fantastic. Well, one of the reasons we brought Elder O'Neill on today is because the talk we're going to discuss is called Love Thy Neighbor by Elder Ian S. Ardern of the 70. And it's all about service to our fellow man. And so, Elder O'Neill, I don't know if you're a podcast listener, but we basically start out by going around talking about the fundamental doctrine from the talk that we took away from the talk. And sometimes those are the same. Sometimes they're different for each person. But I'll come to you third. I'm going to go back to Aaliyah first. Okay. And we'll start with her and have her tell us what her fundamental doctrine was from this talk.
All right. Well, mine comes from, it's actually somewhere later in the talk, but it's like the little kind of blurb that they give at the very beginning before the talk mm-hmm. starts in the written uh-huh. version. It says, compassion is an attribute of Christ. It is born of love for others and knows no boundaries.
Awesome.
And I thought that was really cool. Just like clear and simple.
What did you love about it?
I really liked the knows no boundaries part. I think that's a very difficult aspect of compassion to attain, but that's what makes it Christ-like, right? And it being an attribute of Christ means it's something that not only I should, but I can, you know, achieve or become in my life, because if it's part of him, then he'll help me get it, you know, be it. So I really like
awesome.
That.
And Elder O'Neill was very eloquent in explaining how his compassion has, you know, significantly increased from his mission. How did your mission expand the boundaries of your compassion?
I think in a similar way, in the sense that I saw a lot of people in a lot of different circumstances. No matter which city I was in, there was different, you know, people going through different things at different times, and it was just expanding for me to work with those people and to, you know, share with them how Christ could help them through that and kind of feel for that situation that they're in, yeah. Even knowing that the message we carried had like a solution of sorts, just to be in it with them and care about them enough to even offer them the gospel in the first place.
Right. So in a similar way, it helped, just as Elder O'Neill explained, it helped you to see other people as sons and daughters of God, but maybe coming at it from the side of, because you wanted to share the gospel with them as sons and daughters of God. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, like because of the situations that they were in and just the people that they were, like because I knew them as them, I was able to have a genuine desire to share the gospel with them. And not just because like it's what I was supposed to do, but because I wanted to, because I had compassion for them.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. I love it. Well, that was also my fundamental doctrine. So good job. Great minds think alike, Aaliyah.
And it wasn't me that stole it this time.
I know. Yeah. I know. Indeed. Well, what is your fundamental doctrine, Rivka?
Here's mine. Compassion does not require us to know them, the people that we serve. It only requires us to love them. And that was such a profound statement to me, because I don't know that I've ever read a sentence about this that for me so illustrated the use of love as a verb. Because he's talking about the service that you're giving, and he, at this point in the talk, he's talking about like the financial donations that are made to the humanitarian, the humanitarian projects in the church. And so he talks about any amount that's given is they're grateful for. And so the first part of that sentence is, it's unlikely you will know the recipients of your time, dollars, and dimes. So not even like, I just don't know them as a person, but like you may never know them. They might live on the other side of the world, but it doesn't matter. It matters that you love them. And how do you love someone that you've never met or heard of and who you may never even hear of or meet? And he's talking about the acts of service that they're providing and the generosity and donations. And so to me, reading that sentence and really feeling the word love in that sentence as an action, as a verb. So it doesn't require us to know the people that we serve, but it requires that we love them, that we be willing to do the work of our Heavenly Father and the work of our Savior.
So I know we're not in the invitation section, but this goes along well with what you're saying. So one of the things I struggle with, Rivka, is feeling like what I'm doing or what even can I do? You know, these stories of these kids in Africa who are starving, like they're very moving, and I feel awful like that these situations exist. but it feels like such a humongous problem that whatever I do will make little to no difference. So what can we really do? And how do we deal with that feeling?
Today was our ward's primary program in sacrament meeting, which is the best Sunday of the year. And the topic was the life of Jesus Christ, because they've been studying that in the New Testament. And several of the older primary kids gave talks that they had written and given in primary throughout the year. And there was one of the girls who in her talk was talking about this exact thing. And her talk was so profound that, like, later in Relief Society, it came up several times because several of the women were struck by it. But she, and I, this is like, I don't have it quoted word for word, but in essence, this is what she said. She was like, I can't feed 5,000 people with the loaves and fishes, but I can share my lunch with a friend. And I can't heal the lame man, but I can loan someone crutches if they've hurt their leg, or I can pick my friend up if they've tripped and fallen. And I can't heal the sick, but I can take dinner to a family whose mom just had a baby. And it was these simple little things, and she was saying it in her, you know, little primary voice, and it was so powerful, because I just thought, that is exactly how it is. We read all of these magnificent things in the scriptures, and we see, like you were saying, all of these real deep difficulties that there are so many people in the world that they have, and we can't be everywhere and do everything, and we can't help all the people, but we can serve those around us in little regular ways, that just things that we're capable of doing, to find the things that we can do. And then where does he say that in this talk? Hang on.
I do have one quote. Maybe this is the one you're thinking of. Rivka says, despite our every effort, you and I won't heal everyone, but each of us can be the one who can make a difference for good in the life of someone.
Yeah. And then at the very end of that paragraph, he says, I assure you, it is sufficient to give or to do what you are able, and then allow Christ to magnify your effort. And I think that is really the important part, is, and that's one of the reasons why I think we have two accounts of a loaves and fishes type of story, where whatever it is that we give to the Lord, he can magnify, and it will be enough. So we don't have to fix all the problems in the world. We are not the savior of the world. The world has a savior, and he will do that. And we are just asked to do what we can wherever we are.
Okay. I love that. And he, you know, this is a general conference. It wasn't a telethon. And so he sort of hints at this, or talks a little bit about it, but he didn't just come right out and say, everyone give all your money to Church Humanitarian Fund right now. Mm-hmm. But I think that message was in there as well. Like, if you have the money, that's a good place to put it. And if you feel compassion for these poor kids who you can't really go to Africa and feed yourself or build a well for yourself, you know, you can give money to someone who can. Mm-hmm. So actually had a radiology colleague who was telling me that, you know, he was very, very compassionate, and he's retired. He spends half his year in Laos teaching other people how to do radiology for free, and not a member of the church. And he was saying he did some research, and he said, you know, if you have a good paying job and you're, you know, gainfully employed, probably the best thing you can do, rather than like go to Africa for a week yourself or one of these sorts of, you know, compassionate service activities that are, you know, lots of money and time for, you know, 1 week of service, is just work that whole week and give every last cent to an organization that already has the whole infrastructure built in. Mm-hmm. And the church is that organization. I mean, they don't waste money. They believe in the widow's mite. So if you have the money, that's a good place to put it.
Yeah.
So, Okay, well, let's move on to Elder O'Neill, and let's get your fundamental doctrine and your perspective as a service missionary.
I really thought I was going to get away okay on that one. and then you guys started talking about literally exactly what I was going to say.
So that happens a lot, by the way.
It does.
Yeah.
No, that's what I heard beforehand. I thought that wasn't going to happen this time, and it did. Honestly, I think the biggest takeaway for me from this talk is the fact that even small things can lead up to a big difference.
Mm.
And even if they don't, the small things still have a lot of value. And I was gonna quote the despite our every effort, you and I won't heal everyone, but you guys already did. So,
well, instead of quoting, perhaps do you have any experiences from your mission thus far on a small thing that you think is that you know you're doing or you're seeing that you think is adding up to a big difference?
I'd like to hope everything.
I'd like to hope that's a good answer.
Adds up to a big picture. In terms of small things I do, honestly, I think my second favorite place to go, not counting my family, because you know that's always going to be my favorite.
Of course,
St. Vincent de Paul. because that's the place that I do direct the traffic for, because I have an awkward traffic situation and it means that I'm outside a lot. And people, I've said this a number of times over the last couple of weeks because it's been stuck on my mind. Basically my whole mission, honestly. No one that comes to a food pantry is having a good day. And a lot of people who come don't have people they can talk to about things that are hard for them for whatever reasons. And most don't, but I usually get one or two every time I serve there, people that will just sit down next to me and will talk to me. And will talk to me about stuff that's happening and about stuff they're stressed about. And the first day, I kind of just tuned them out. Because I'll be honest, it made me a little uncomfortable. and week number two, I didn't. I decided to actually listen. And I have been really happily surprised by how huge of a difference that has made for some of them. I've seen people get out of their, barely functioning cars, go in, come out with all of the food they could possibly pack in, and then sit down and start talking and responding to them and even just saying, just even giving really basic responses to the things that they're talking about and just seeing them realize that someone is listening is, I think, just about the greatest thing I do every week. The way that some of their faces light up and the relief that some of them get to show is it was really, really surprising to me. And it's been really wonderful to be able to do that.
That is a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that, Elder O'Neill. And I think that's exactly what he's talking about. If you just take any thing that you have, which in this case might be the ability to listen and a few minutes of your time that you can do to lighten someone's load or love your neighbor, then you're doing the work of the Lord. So that was a beautiful, profound story. So thank you for sharing that, Elder O'Neill. Okay, well, we are well into our podcast here, coming up on our time limit. I'm going to do just a recap. Usually in our fundamental doctrine, we sort of hit like the basic story of the talk, and we sort of hinted at it, but maybe didn't call it out explicitly. So for those who don't recall the talk, this is him basically just telling of an episode when he went to Africa with the, I believe it was the Relief Society general president, and her husband, and then someone from the Church Humanitarian Service. And they went to Uganda, and they visited, that country there. And he told about, kids who were hungry or malnourished, and women who carried, 5 liter or rather 5 gallon containers on their heads, walking a half hour each way, twice a day, and the sorrow he felt, and how he groaned in his spirit, and how they all had compassion on those that they saw. And through that story, encouraged us to do what we could for those around us. And I think that brings us to our invitations. And of course, I would encourage everyone to go read the talk, because I found it very moving. And I think Elder O'Neill would encourage you to read it for the British spelling. And Lee and I would encourage you to listen to it for the British accent. And Rivka would tell you to read it 5 times and then look up the most important words in a 1928 dictionary. So
1828. I looked up the word compassion in the 1828 dictionary.
Yes. What did it say?
Well, the reason I did it is because this talk is a lot about giving and serving. And in my head, when I think of giving, that's charity, like that act of service to charity. So compassion, when he's talking about groaning in the spirit, that's what compassion is. So the dictionary says a suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by distress or misfortunes of another. So basically like the feeling of sorrow.
Wait, time out. You just like flew through that, but it was actually very profound. I think of compassion as like, I don't know, not what you just said. So say it again.
A suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another.
So compassion isn't just an attribute of Christ. It's the center of the atonement.
Yeah.
By that definition, that is one of the core pieces of the atonement. Even atoning for our sins is suffering with another for their sins. That's amazing. Yeah. What a definition. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Did you have more to say about that? I sort of interrupted you.
Not really. No, that was pretty much it. So just that I had looked it up in the dictionary because Rivka always says to.
Yes.
Good.
See what happens? You learn and the spirit teaches. It's so good.
That's amazing. Exactly. Well, so now what do we do about it? Let's talk about his invitations here. So, Elder O'Neill, did anyone forewarn you that I was going to ask about an invitation that you found in the talk or a promise?
I don't remember, but probably.
Okay. In that case, I will let you go third, and now you have a moment to just skim through your highlights and see if there's one where he invited us to do something based on what you read in the talk. And I'll go back to Aaliyah. What was an invitation you found, Aaliyah?
Speaking of skimming through highlights to see if there's one in there, none of these are blue, so I didn't highlight any invitations.
Okay.
But I guess at the very, very end, something I don't have highlighted, but that is an invitation. He says, may we be forever looking to the well-being of others and show in word and deed that we are willing to bear another's burdens.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That is the one I marked. And so Aaliyah officially took everything that I had to say about this talk. And so I don't know why I'm here. So Rivka, did you have another invitation?
Sure. Just above that, he actually gives the promise first. He says, I testify that each of us will have an increase of joy, peace, humility, and love as we respond to President Nelson's call to turn our hearts to the well-being of others and to Joseph Smith's plea to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, provide for the widow, dry up the tear of the orphan, and comfort the afflicted, whether in this church or any other or in no church at all, wherever we may find them. So there's lots of things to do, lots of options to choose from. And however you are able to serve in this way, you'll receive an increase of joy and peace and humility and love. And that's awesome.
That is awesome. I would love to spend a lot more time on that, but we're over time. So I will just testify that I have felt that as I have served others, I have felt an increase in joy, peace, humility, and love. So, and I think we got great testimony on that today from Elder O'Neill. And that brings us to you, Elder O'Neill. Any other invitations or promised blessings that you found in this talk?
Okay, I'm going to ride heavy on the promised blessings because my mom read exactly again what I was going to do.
Okay.
You know what? I like this one too. Our Savior's plea is to, quote, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's pretty simple, but I don't know. I think that's fairly powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that scripture because it tells us that although we will get these blessings, one of the blessings or purposes of service is to glorify God and to direct people heavenward. And Aaliyah sort of led with that in her discussion about how she is maybe responding a little bit differently to her friends and just helping direct them towards the Savior when they need help. So, well, thanks to all three of you for that great discussion today. The next talk we're going to discuss is Kingdoms of Glory by President Dallin H. Oaks of the First Counselor in the First Presidency. In the meantime, Aaliyah is going to tell you how to get a hold of us.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook or Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast, which is now being run by my dad, so props to him for any of the posts that you see.
Not really props. I'm not doing a great job, but I'm trying.
You posted today. I saw that.
I did. It was okay. Yes, but and please engage us there. If you have thoughts or comments or questions, please put them in the posts or, you know, send us a message on Facebook or email us. So we love hearing from people. So, thanks to everyone who joined us today, and until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit, and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.